in the studio, I have Wendy Gingell, who is an author. Welcome to Huon and Kingston FM, Wendy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, Wendy, when did you start off with the thought that you might like to become an author?
I think I was about 10 or 12 by the time I knew I actually wanted to be an author. I'd written a few short stories at school, as we all do, I suppose, and I read a great deal, as in I was reading sometimes two or three books a day, to the despair of my parents, who didn't understand how I could forget to do things like eat or do the washing up and remember to read all these books. So I found that I was consuming a great amount of books, and because they weren't always the books that I wanted to read personally, it soon came into my mind that perhaps I would like to write them. And it just started there, basically.
Now, you're a fictional writer. What gives you your ideas? Where do these come from?
Ah, see, that has always slightly confused me. People always ask me that, and I'm never quite sure what to say because, quite honestly, they've never not been there. I dream very, very vividly and very, very adventurously. So a lot of them have come from there. There's okay. A couple of dreams that I have had that have birthed stories. But quite often it's just a result of many, many influences, like the books that I read, the things that I watch. People I come across in life, somehow something about their personalities has just suggested a character or an idea, and before I know it, it's spooling away at the back of my mind and I have to write it down or lose it, and I'd rather write it down and keep it than lose it.
Are you a longhand writer or a computer writer?
Well, I used to write longhand. I still do sometimes if I'm trying to work something out. But when I first began writing, very seriously, this is when I decided that's what I wanted to do. I had to write during my lunch breaks because I was doing school at home and then working the rest of the time, 30 hours a week. So lunch hours were all that I had to write in. So I would write in notebooks. I would fill so many notebooks with just my scribbled writing. And at that stage, we had one home computer. So this was before internet was really widely...
It was only
dial-up, and we didn't have it for quite a while. So when we first did and first had our own computer, it was amazing. I could type. My mother made sure we could type, which at the time I hated.
But
I can touch type, and I can type at 90-plus words per minute, which means it is so much more efficient to type than to write by hand.
And, of course, you know, you can go back and edit so much easily.
Oh, my goodness, it's so much easier.
Cut and paste and...
Exactly. Though you can accidentally cut something and lose it forever or lose a whole book because it was on an ancient floppy disk that is now defunct. So I have actually done that, and it's horrible and it's awful. And the book was rubbish because it was way back when I was first writing. But it still to this day cuts me to my heart that I do not have access to 60 pages of work that I once had. There are dangers to writing on the computer, but more benefits, I think.
Yeah. So you've written nine novels?
I've got one short story. I have four novellas ranging from 30,000 words to 50,000 words, which is almost a short novel rather than a novella. I tend to write on the long scale. And four full-length books.
Just tell our listeners which are the full-length books.
Okay, so full-length is my debut, Mask. It's a retelling of Beauty and the Beast as a murder mystery in a sort of Victorian alternate world. So lots of tea and good manners and murder. Then there is Spindle, which is a cross between Sleeping Beauty and Rapunzel.
Okay.
Wolfskin, which is basically Red Riding Hood rewritten. And the one that will be published next year is tentatively waiting for a license to use this, but it should hopefully be called Bright as the Eyes of You. And it is a Korean alternate world fantasy romance, which I've never done, just plain romance before, but I wanted to incorporate the Korean that I was currently learning. So those are my four full-length ones.
Yeah, and interestingly, you've sort of loosely based sort of...
Fairy tales. Yes,
yeah.
I do a lot of that. Most of my fantasy is either rewritten fairy tales, because I love messing with fairy tales and upturning expectations, or I will take fairy tale tropes and turn them on their heads. For instance, my Shards of a Broken Sword series, 12 Days of Fairy, has your usual fairy tale trope of a cursed prince. However, the story isn't told from his point of view or from his princess's point of view. It's told from the point of view of his 40-something-year-old father and goes into the story from that point of view. And the second one, in that same series is Fire in the Blood, which is a prince and his dragon. And it has your usual tropes of a dragon guarded castle, princess in the castle, but it's told from the point of view of the dragon. And again, it upturns several assumptions that you probably have about those particular tropes in fantasy.
Oh, I love that idea. You
so
know,
I just love messing with, yeah, with yes, other people's obviously. Ideas. Yeah.
And sort of reminds me a little bit, I'm a keen musical theatre aficionado, and reminds me of Sondheim's Into the Woods.
I love Sondheim.
I knew you would, yes.
Such an amazing talent, that
guy. Where he, you know, the first act is all happy and happy ever after.
And then it goes so dark.
So dark. Oh.
But still so beautiful with the words and the music. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I thought you might like that.
Oh, yes.
Now, Wendy, your books are for sort of older teenagers, maybe?
Yeah.
Mid-teens
They're
upwards.
Classed quite often anywhere from young adult. Wolfskin's got a 14-year-old protagonist at the beginning, though she's 17-odd at the end. They're classed right through to new adult and adult, though quite honestly, my fans do seem to span anywhere from 12 years old at the youngest that I've heard of to, I think it was 90 years old I'd heard. So it's hard to classify them. I guess a little bit like Diana Wynne Jones. She wrote for young adults and children, but I will never stop reading her books because they're just timeless stories for all ages, even though the protagonists quite often are younger. I think any age can read them and still thoroughly enjoy them.
That's right. Now, you were telling me about self-publication. Tell me a little bit about that, the trials and tribulations thereof.
There are a few trials and tribulations. Most of them is a lot of people, if you say you're self-published, they will not take you seriously, which is understandable if slightly annoying because I work very hard at what I... When I first started publishing, I did have the idea that I wanted to be traditionally published. I wanted to approach, you know, all the big ones, Allen and Unwin and Penguin. And I did approach some of them and try to get an agent at first. But what I was hearing back from them continually after they'd requested fulls and partials of my manuscripts was, I love the writing. I love the characterization. I love the world, but I don't know how to market it. And so it was just a thing of they would love what I'd done, but they just didn't know how to classify it. They didn't want to take a chance on it. And so what I was hearing was, this is in fact good work, but we don't know what to do with it. And so at that point, it was only after a few rejections like that, and they were very kind ones and very useful, that I started to think, well, then why don't I try and do something about this myself? And so I started researching self-publishing, and I found that if I could do it well, being a mid-list author, self-published, you will in fact earn a lot more money than you will being a traditional published author, mid-list. So I started finding out about it, you know, how do I format ebooks? How do I advertise? What do I need to do to make this work? And there's a huge, vibrant online community of really helpful writers out there. If you're looking to do this sort of thing, KBoards is the best place to start as far as I'm concerned. It's a Kindle Boards forum online, and there are a lot of authors there. And there's just so many resources to find out about this sort of thing. But there are authors, friends of mine online, they started out traditionally publishing at roughly the same time as myself. Now, they're, I think the furthest along of them is awaiting the publication of her third book, whereas at this point I have, like we said before, 9 publications out, and this is just because I don't have to wait for catalogues to come out. I don't have to wait for something to get approved through several layers of publishing house to be able to make it to the market.
Yeah.
I write it, I let it sit, I give it to about 10 of my beta readers who are either fans or just people who love reading, get it back, edit it again. I then send it to my mother, who finds my mistakes with the greatest glee imaginable. She will text me while I'm at work and say, I found a typo on page so-and-so, ha!
As mothers do.
As mothers do. So it's really, really useful to me. I have lots of people who are willing to help.
Great.
And so at this point, I'm looking at, hopefully, by the end of next year, hoping to be able to do this full-time, part-time and work for the wonderful Woolworths part-time.
And the printing?
Ah, yes, the printing. Yes, there are two ways you can do that. I choose to do it print on demand, which is basically you format the book, you get it all ready to go. You've got your cover from your wonderful cover artist, Jenny at Seedling. She's wonderful. She does the most beautiful covers. And so you get all that ready, and then you upload it onto CreateSpace and Amazon and Barnes & Noble and anywhere else you like. And basically, whenever someone orders one, they print it and ship it off. So you don't have a print run in the traditional sense.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to pay up front. You just upload your stuff. You wait for someone to make an order or order in author copies, and it just gets prints on an as-needed basis. Yeah, so it's an amazing new world in publishing.
Isn't it?
It's just fascinating how quickly things have moved since even 2000.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, that, I'm thinking, do you have to, outlay a lot of money to get, X number of books printed and things like that?
There's a certain amount of outlay in terms of if you can afford an editor, if getting your cover done professionally, which I knew straight away when I saw Jenny's covered, that is, I wanted her to do all my books when I could afford it. Yeah, so covers are your most expensive thing if you're self-publishing.
Right, okay. Well, that is really fascinating, Wendy. Now, so where can people find out a little bit more about you and what you've told us the books, but that's probably just like, gone straight out. Where can they find out about what you've published and how to get hold of them?
Right, so the easiest place to find info about me is at my website. So it's wrgingell.com, and the Gingell is G-I-N-G-E-L-L, for those who may not know how to spell it. So that'll basically have my bibliography and links to buy them on multiple formats. If you're after paperback, you can get them locally, as in Hobart, from A Bit Curious in Centrepoint, Area 50.
Yes. A Bit Curious, because our lovely Steve, our president, Steve, works there.
Just yesterday.
Yes, he's wonderful. And
He's got signed copies too. If you're after signed copies, A Bit Curious is the place to go.
He's one of our sponsors, A Bit Curious, so pop into the old ABC shop in Centrepoint. That's where they are, and you can get signed copies there. And so you mentioned you've got one. Is it one in the pipeline, or is it's happening?
It is happening, but I've had to get licensing for the title because it's from a Monkees song. I love the Monkees. They're one of my favourite band. And I originally had all my chapter headings with excerpts from their songs, but it was too insanely expensive to be able to get the licensing for those, because big companies don't care about my nostalgia. My fangirling, they care about their bottom line, which is fair enough.
But Mikey are coming to Australia.
I got to see them. I got to dance with them stage. It was wonderful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was one of the best experiences of my life.
Especially if you're a Monkees fan. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, which is why, because I listen to music as I write, and the Monkees is one of the huge ones that I listen to constantly as I'm writing.
So
that's Bright as the Eyes of You, which is from the song by Bill and John Chadwick, Of You, that the Monkees sing. So that one's coming out, hopefully, early next year, once I get permission and find out how much it's going to cost me. There's that, and I'm also doing an omnibus of my Shards of a Broken Sword trilogy in paperback.
Yep.
So that's coming out next year, hopefully early February.
Oh, Wendy, this has been fascinating having a chat to you about this, and especially the self-publishing and that sort of thing. It's really, really interesting. Well, all I can do is wish you a very happy Christmas and all the very, very best with your future career. And I'm it's going to be a full-time career.
Yes, I'm certainly hoping so. We'll work for that.
Well, thanks for popping on. And look, you're most welcome to pop down any time and have a chat, especially when your new one's ready to be released. Come down
wonderful.
And have a chat and tell
great.
Us a lot about it. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
That's Wendy Gingell, wonderful local author.